Hey.
Without further ado,
WBSM presents The Barry Richards Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Text us using app chat on the WBSM app. Now, The Barry Richards Show.
All right, welcome back into the program. Hour number three. It is 2:07 on a bright, sunshiny Thursday afternoon. Enjoy it because, well, the next few days are not going to be too wonderful weather-wise. But anyway, right, it comes with the territory. So we'll keep an eye on that forecast for you. Talking about some snow maybe Sunday night. We'll keep an eye on that. We'll keep you posted. On Monday, Governor Maura Healey and Lieutenant Governor Kim Driscoll came to town and picked up the endorsement of Mayor John Mitchell for their reelection effort. And then skedaddled over the, you can't say it's over the bridge because over the bridge is Somerset. But anyway, to the bridge in Fall River and picked up the endorsement of Paul Coogan, the mayor there. And they're well on their way. Bristol County, including New Bedford, Fall River, are going to be very pivotal locations in this fall's election. New Bedford and Fall River, Bristol County in general, have been moving sharply to the right. You can say we're red at this point or we are purple at this point, but we certainly are not the deep blue that we used to be. And there's a lot of change going down, a lot of interest in alternative candidates. When the mayor, John Mitchell, gave his endorsement of Healey on Thursday, he said, "I can't say enough about the work that the governor and the lieutenant governor have done to get on the same page with us here in New Bedford." Now, someone might disagree with that assessment, and one of those people is Sean Oliver, Ward 3 city councilor, also the newly elected chairman of the New Bedford Republican City Committee, which is immediately snapping into action here and responding to what the mayor had to say. Sean's with me on the line right now. Or actually, I should say Councilor Oliver, appreciate your time.
Hi, Barry. Thank you for the opportunity to come on in and speak with you and your listeners. Like I said, you summed it up perfectly. I think that here on Bristol County, things are looking a bit different. You know, I wouldn't say we're red yet, but we're trending in that way. And at the very least, we're being very vocal, something that we haven't been in a long time.
And I'll tell you what, that's refreshing because it's been frustrating for somebody who sat behind this very microphone for 10 years now. It's so refreshing. Boom, there was a press release from you this morning. And I said, whoa, that's the first time since I've been here that I've ever gotten a press release from the Republican City Committee. This is refreshing. And we need some pushback, and the people need to have hope that there is something out there other than what we've been experiencing. But your press release this morning was pushing back at Mitchell for his endorsement of Maura Healey. How come?
Well, from my standpoint and from the standpoint of a lot of folks who have been, fairly silent over the years, like you said, is, it's kind of been a one-party rule, and the Republican Party or conservatives or even folks that may not, some of the moderate Democrats have been fearful of stepping up, and some of the louder voices and the established coalitions and committees of the area have been able to run pretty much roughshod for years. So right now, the Republican City Committee is giving people a forum in which they can feel welcome to speak their mind and their views, and that it is okay to be a Republican here in the South Coast, especially New Bedford. But, when the mayor of the city of New Bedford comes out and openly endorses the sitting administration and touts all of its championships that they've won, I haven't seen any of that really trickle down. Yeah, there's some activity that are happening down at the docks and things like that. But as I've said before, we have politicians that are either seeking elected office or in elected office that come down to our, docks and take pictures in front of the boats, and then we never see them again. And that's exactly what I feel happened the other day, was to take a victory lap. And I don't see much to take a victory lap for. You know, you have folks here in the city of New Bedford and throughout the Commonwealth that are struggling with high utility costs and fixed incomes with our seniors and those who are unable to work now, small businesses and big businesses even leaving, and how an administration here in the city of New Bedford can get behind that is a little bit disheartening, especially when the mayor's office, the mayor himself, has been very vocal about local aid and how the city has failed to get the funding. The current funding models have failed to keep up with inflation. Yet you have the person who can fix that right in front of you, who chooses not to, and yet you still endorse her.
Well, you know, what's frustrating to me, and has been forever, is when politicians put party before people. And I said that on the air yesterday. It's like, you know, so the mayor is a Democrat, and he's a good Democrat. He's going to go out there and endorse Elizabeth Warren. Ed Markey watched our, you know, fishing fleet being challenged with the offshore wind. And, Obama and then Biden closing down fishing grounds and NOAA putting restrictions. And they didn't say squat about it. They didn't say anything about it. They didn't fight. They didn't do anything. But yet John Mitchell endorsed them as well. Now he's endorsing Maura Healey after all of the strife that she's put us through, between the $3 to $5 billion being spent to house and feed illegal immigrants, while she wants to raise taxes on prescriptions for Nana and, you know, sugar tax, and put an excise tax on the or put a tax on your excise tax, the local option meals tax. She wants to, you know, more taxes that way. I mean, this woman has done nothing. And anybody can see that. And for the mayor to stand up and say, well, yeah, she's done a great job, we want 4 more years of this, clearly is putting party ahead of people. And that infuriates me when I see that.
No, absolutely, Barry. And, you know, you've been a watcher for a long time that, you know, it's for these politicians that have been doing it for years and years, it's easier to go with the flow instead of against the current, right? So instead of putting the people of the city of New Bedford first, you do see politicians get in line when it's time, you know, so they can keep the little nuggets and the scraps that they do get from these folks when they do pay attention to us here in the city of New Bedford. And that's one of the reasons why I've gotten very vocal and very active. It's switching my party affiliation from unenrolled to Republican. And it's been my mission now to make sure that people who have felt as if they weren't able to speak out against because it's funny, the last couple of weeks I've had more people reach out to me, Barry, who are saying, you know, I've been a longtime Republican and I've been scared to come out basically and say that I am, because I know I'm going to lose friends. I'm too old in my life now to be losing friends, because I'm losing them through natural causes. But I'm glad that somebody is saying the things that I've kept in for a long time. And that's what we're looking to do here, especially in New Bedford, at least. But as you've alluded to, Bristol County turning red, with Fall River actually voting for the president. So I think there's going to be a lot to come of not just the work that we're doing here, but the different city and town committees within Bristol County.
Well, let me just say this bluntly to the folks listening out there. If you are afraid, you know, to step up and join this movement because, you know, friends might disown you, or friends might not want to be bothered with you, or family, they're not friends anyway. So, I mean, this is America. You can stand up and you can have your political views and not worry about it. And you know what? I kind of welcome that. I'm getting older, too, and the few people in my life I have, the better I like it. So just get out of here. I don't bother me. I'm going to stand up proudly for what I believe in. But you guys had an organizational meeting, I think it was, what, last week or the week before, up at the Wamsutta Club, and you invited the public to show up. And I did. I told people, go, just go and watch what's going on, and go with an open mind, and just give a listen to what's being said. And you can participate or not participate, but at least go up there. And I understand that the turnout at the WAMSETA meeting, the meeting where you were elected a chairman of the New Bedford City Committee, I understand there was a pretty good turnout for that.
Yeah, that was. We've had a couple of we were able to form a couple of wards throughout the last couple of months. Ward 3 was actually the very first city committee that that was formed back about a year or so ago, and we've slowly been building out the different wards throughout the city, because the way that it's written is that in order to form a city committee, they use the word several. Several wards have to be formed. So that was, we took that as that's what we had to do. We had to start small and build out these different wards, and starting out with 3 members and growing them to 5 and 10 and so on. So once we were able to get enough members, we were able to officially reorganize the defunct city committee to make sure that it was in front of us properly. And the last 3 meetings that we've had have been all very well attended, all within the ballpark of maybe a little less or a little more of about 100 people. And some of those people have been there since day one, all of us. And then there's a few of them that there's always new folks, new faces that are coming in. So it shows, like, you know, people are ready, so long as there's an organization behind them. And that's one of my things that I spoke about during my acceptance of the chair, was I want this to be an area where you can speak your mind. And yeah, maybe not everybody in this room is going to agree with you, but it's a space that you could come and speak and talk and contribute and be around like-minded folks. And when you see folks, even though the city politics is not partisan, I mean, is nonpartisan, it's frustrating when you look around to some of your elected leaders and don't see yourself represented there. So I've always said, if you're unenrolled, you're unrepresented, so make the switch over. You can attend one of our meetings. Like you said, we don't discriminate against anybody. Anybody can come. We've welcomed Democrats. We had the auditor at one of our meetings. She came down a couple of months back. We invite Democrats, Republicans, unenrolled, just people who, if you just want to see what we're doing, the door is always open. These are public meetings. We post them so folks can have ample time to plan. And what we're going to be doing is we have one coming up in April, April 8th, just before the convention. We're going to have it at the hotel up here in Ward 3, the Whaler Inn and Suites. That's going to be at 6 o'clock, April 8th. Everybody's welcome to come and attend there. We're in the process of working on a guest speaker, possibly the gentleman who's going to be running against our attorney general, who refuses to give us the audit. And I think that that's something that obviously a lot of us got voted for, 72% of us. And if we want the audit, a quick fix there is to change the attorney general, who's blocking it. Damn. So I strongly encourage people to get involved and attend one of our meetings. They'll be pleasantly surprised, I assure you.
Yeah, I just had Elizabeth Dion on in the last hour, the Republican candidate for state treasurer. And here's a woman who makes a lot of sense, and she's not a politician, and very smart, very educated on the issues. And she would be a great guest to get in town.
She was here for the reorganization meeting, Barry. She was
Oh, that's right. Week. I do remember. Yeah. Chris told me that. Yeah, McCarthy told me that that she was here.
She was here last week. She spoke to the group of 100 of us that were there. She was well received. She stayed till the very end, meeting with folks and making sure that she spoke with everybody that was willing to hear from her. She said exactly that. Listen, I am a frustrated voter myself, and that's what's gotten me into this race, is we're not getting the representation that we deserve, that we've asked for, that we've voted for. You have folks that we've put in this position. We vote for something, and they blatantly tell us no. But yet we continue to vote the way that we vote here on the South Coast and blame the Republicans for being the problem. how can we be the problem, Barry? We're not in power. There's right. not a, and here in the city of New Bedford, aside from two members of the city council, there are no elected Republicans that are in our delegation. Our complete state delegation is a supermajority of Democrat, yet the Republicans seem to always be the problem here.
Yeah. Well, you know, you talk about being told no. I mean, I can remember back, you know, with the Oceanarium, and I was supposed to go downtown, and, well, that didn't happen. And then we're going to get the casino in New Bedford, right? And just be patient, we're going to get the casino, and then we're going to get the, you know, we're going to get this, we're going to get that. The train, how many years did it take to get the train here? Almost 30 years before we finally got the train here. A new bridge, and the only reason they're giving us a new bridge is because this damn thing's ready to fall in the ocean. So they got to give us a new bridge. Same thing with 195, but that's federal anyway, I think, right? But right. So, yeah, so I mean, they just constantly, and I can remember Deval Patrick saying, well, don't be greedy asking for stuff. You want that train, right? Well, if you want that train, you better not push your luck on it. And we've always been the bastard stepchildren that have been told, you know, it's not our turn, it's not our turn. And I think people are standing up now saying, well, it is our turn, and we're going to make that happen. I'm hearing this going to be, now this is just a state wide election this year coming up. Next year's the municipal election. But I'm hearing there's a lot of reason to be excited about some of these candidates that's on the ballot this fall that people can vote for. There will be some choice in the area.
Oh, no, absolutely. I think in especially locally, you know, we, one thing that we spoke about, and like I said, you know, we're ruled by a supermajority of a Democrat delegation, and, you know, it's finding candidates, supporting local candidates for office, because, listen, never doing it before, it is pretty overwhelming. You know, you run for office, you don't know what you're doing. It's always good to have some sort of infrastructure, and folks of the conservative mindset never really had that. As I said, there are so many groups that are formed and very active throughout our community that are Democrat-driven, and I think that has plays a pivotal role in folks kind of taking a back seat and not seeking local office. Why am I going to run? I don't have any support right off the bat. The cards are stacked against me already, and that's what we're looking to do here. Our main focus isn't really federal. Heck, it's not even really state, even though that we will do we'll get involved in some state races that affect New Bedford locally. But it's truly to build a coalition of folks who are willing to put in the time, the effort to help people get elected to local office. That is our main focus with the Republican City Committee, Barry.
Well, you know, the Democrats were so successful in taking control and having an iron grip on power in this state because they developed a farm team. And, you know, they got people elected to boards of selectmen, city councils, dog catcher, all these different things, planning board. And then those people moved up and new people replaced them. So that's how, you know, they're like a vine. They just grew and grew and grew. And the Republicans have never been good at that. And I'm glad to see that kind of base building, foundation building is the priority finally of the GOP. And I think with leaders like yourself and some of the other folks, Bob, you know, out in Fairhaven, Bob McConnell, excuse me, and, you know, some of the other folks that are working hard here, that we can finally establish that base and, you know, move people up the ladder to state rep, state senator, maybe even governor at some point, and, you know, representatives in Congress as well.
No, absolutely. I mean, a perfect example, although it's not here in the city of New Bedford, is the Westport State Representative seat, where you had Mike Rodericks there, yeah. and then he vacated the seat, and then Selectman Schmid came in and took over the state rep seat, and then when it was time for him to leave, it was Selectman Steve Ouellette to come in, and now he's been elected to that role, so you're 100% right, Barry. They've been working this model for years. It's effective. It hasn't been anything that the GOP, at least locally, has been able to do. And hopefully with our new concerned, you know, efforts here in the city, we're able to, you know, start at least pushing back to some of these groups that are formed. I mean, you saw it recently with Henry Bousquet, you know, where the second that somebody stepped forward to put themselves out there for public office, he starts getting bashed from left, right, and well, left and center, not so much the right, as to his beliefs, his thought process, his, you know, how he's going to advocate for the children. How can he, you know, how can he do that? And
it, well, the same thing happened to you. The same thing happened to you when you stepped in for the Ward 3 seat.
Yeah. Absolutely. As soon as it's something's happening that they don't like, they automatically go through your, you know, the next 10 years of your social media. If you posted one thing or said one thing, that becomes the entire existence of what you are. And that's not the case. And I think that the South Coast, especially here in the city of New Bedford, has missed out on a lot of good leaders that would have put themselves forward or could have led if there wasn't that negative undertone that was being pursued out there from the left.
Yeah. We at one point had a strong Republican representation here in New Bedford. I mean, you know, Roz Paul Brooker on the city council, and Saul Neer down in the south end, and Don Sorensen up in the north end, and slowly but surely that slipped away. And but we need a two-party system in order to function. We need Democrats and we need Republicans in order to function properly.
100%. The best government is government that is a representative of all the people, not just a majority. Yeah, the majority is, I'm representing the majority of people, but that means that there is a group of folks that are not being represented. I mean, let's take Acushnet, for example, Barry. Acushnet voted almost 70% for the current president, yet both of their state reps are Democrats.
Mm.
Do you think the town of Acushnet feels as if they're being represented up on Beacon Hill? Absolutely not.
Right, and we don't have a single Republican, as you alluded to. I mean, not only are in our state delegation from New Bedford, but all over the Commonwealth. I mean, our representatives in Congress, our two U.S. senators, our governor, lieutenant governor, the secretary of state, the attorney general, the treasurer, all the way down the ladder. They're all Democrats, and they're all entrenched Democrats, and it's very difficult to break that. And I can see why people you know, have second thoughts about trying to get involved, but I'm so glad that people are stepping up.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, you said it again, and I'll reiterate, you know, how can we be the problem? We're not the ones in power. We barely have any seats up there on the Hill. And so it can't be that the Republicans are the problem. These folks, I mean, I was looking at some folks' OCPFs on the local level. They were opened in the 80s, Barry. Mm. We have representatives that have OCPFs that have been opened in the 80s. I mean, come on now. It's time to, you know, to let somebody else lead. And I think that you're going to see a lot of pushback. I know that you're going to see a lot of pushback from the local Republican Party. That group of people that have been continuing to grow through our various meetings are feeling as if they can finally speak. And when we do, good things are going to happen. I can assure you that.
Well, you're becoming a voice for the opposition, and we appreciate that. Somebody that we can call on to represent the other side. How can people get involved in this this little revolution that's going on here?
Yeah, so obviously social media is big. We've grown over 100% from the inception of our Facebook page, which is just the New Bedford Republican Committee. You can find us on Facebook. You can reach out to me directly through my phone number, which is 774-930-9097. Or you can reach out to Bob and Joanne, Bob McConnell, as you spoke, our state committee man, and Joanne Hodgson, our state committee woman. They will put you in touch with any of the RTCs and RCCs that are around Bristol County. I'm telling you, there's a lot going on in the last year here. I've been able to help folks in Acushnet. They've formed their RTC a few months back. Now they're sending delegates to the convention. You have us. We're sending a total of 41 delegates, Barry, to the convention, both elected at the caucus and ex officios. That's a 410% change from just 4 years ago when we sent zero delegates to the convention.
That's amazing. Sean Oliver, Ward 3 City Councilor and Chairman of the now newly active New Bedford Republican City Committee. Thanks for your time, Sean, and your work. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Barry. Love to come on anytime. Thank you.
All right. 508-996-0500. Love to hear your thoughts on that. I think that's quite interesting, and it's encouraging as well, right? 508-996-0500. Got to get the break in. We're coming.
As a veteran of the United States military, I can finally get the opportunity to enjoy special events like a date with my wife or going out together with my family and friends, things that we couldn't afford thanks to VetTix. Every empty seat at a concert, a game, motorsports, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can help. We can give our veterans a special event where they, too, can create their own cherished memories. Find out how by visiting www.vettix.org. That's www.vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
Back to Barry Richard on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
All right, welcome back. It is 2:37 now on a Thursday afternoon, 508-996-0500. Thanks for hanging on. You're up next in WBSM.
Hi, Barry. Is that me?
Yes, it is.
Barry, can I say something about inflation?
Go right ahead.
You know, everybody's talking about affordability. I don't think the Republicans really get their message across properly. I don't know if everybody understands the effect of inflation from year to year. When Joe Biden was in office, I don't know about the numbers, but I think the prices went up 15% in his 4 years. Those prices are not going to come down significantly because every year there is automatic, as it should be, inflation. So that the Republicans don't say that, and I don't think the people understand that. Inflation is built on the last year's numbers. So they want inflation to be at 1.5% this year, but it's on the total of 15% last year, or the last year that when Biden left office after he had raised the prices 15%, I think his inflation was based like on a 3% per year number, but the damage had already been done.
Right.
The only way that can really have some affordability is fuel, energy, because that drives our economy.
Yeah,
it drives the truck that takes your food to the market, the restaurateur that uses food, gas to cook, your electricity. Everything is based on that. And if we don't get those prices down on fuel, which Trump is doing, we can't help ourselves. So I just wish that the Republicans, even Trump, when he gets up to talk about inflation, I think he confuses who he talks. He confuses the people.
You know, half of the problem is the people have a very, very surface understanding of economic issues. They don't understand. I don't mean people who listen to talk radio. Obviously, people who listen to talk radio are a little bit more on the ball with these things. But, you know, the average person out there that's walking around with their earbuds in listening to, I don't know what they're listening to, but they're not paying attention to this. Or maybe they work for a living and they're working hard and they're raising their kids and going to sports practice afterward. They just don't have time to absorb a lot of the information. And it's not being presented to them in a way that's meaningful that they can understand and grasp it. And they see the prices, as you stated, are still up there. Prices are still up there on a lot of things. Even though the inflation rate comes down, the price stays there.
They don't understand why the price stays there. It's based on the previous inflation because it's on a year-to-year basis.
Well, the bottom line is you go to the supermarket and you're getting screwed over with your energy, especially in this state, right? Whether I think they said the second most expensive now state for utilities in the country. I would even argue that maybe with first, I don't know. But so they're getting whacked with bills. People have called me and said they get hit with $1,000 in a month for heat and lights and so on and so forth. Then they go to the supermarket and they're paying those Biden prices for things. They go into the gas station. The gas prices have come down a bit, but they still haven't come down a lot yet, and they need to come down more. But they're being hit everywhere. And, you know, your first reaction is always, why am I still having a tough time paying for everything? And restaurant prices, I mean, just absolutely out of this world still. And
Everybody understands that, but they can't acknowledge that the prices won't come down to where the only way that can be improved is by increased wages. Because
right.
Once prices go up, they cannot come down to where they originally were. You can't take the prices of our economy back to the first day Biden took office, which would have been 15% less. It's not going to happen.
When I was a kid, my parents would pay $10,000 for a two-story house with a huge backyard, paid 15 cents a gallon for gasoline. That's not going to happen again. That just ain't going to happen again.
No.
But the wages, I mean, we have seen real earnings have increased in this country. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we are not competing against illegal immigrants. Rents are down 11%. And so that's helping out. But we have a shortage of apartments and housing still. You look in Massachusetts, sales of new homes down 13% last month, single family homes. But the price is up to $612,000 for the average home. So people are still being pinched. And I don't even imagine that it matters to them how the pinching is happening. They know that, like, I've got a son that's 29 and another son who's 33, and they can't afford to buy a home.
Well, when I talk about housing costs, I put that into another category.
Mm.
And that's a whole new ball of wax, interest rates. And I want to ask one question, and maybe you can answer this, because there's a housing shortage in New Bedford. If you took all the and I'm not saying good, bad, or indifferent, but if you took all the illegal immigrants out of New Bedford, okay, how would that affect our housing problem in the city?
Well,
remove them. What part of the housing are they occupying? Okay, driving you number one, occupying the units and also driving up the prices.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I don't have a handle on the number of illegals that are in New Bedford, because you get different numbers depending upon who you're speaking to, right? We do know that one problem was that the state was competing against consumers who were looking for houses by finding places for these illegal immigrants that Maura Healey brought here to place them in housing. So that was helping to drive up the price on apartments too. The last I heard, the average unit of housing, the average apartment in New Bedford was going for about $1,600 a month. And that's with a space heater, second floor, third floor in a tenement house. I don't know whether that's come down. I would assume that we've seen deportations out of New Bedford, people leaving on their own. I think there's been people deported as well by the government. I don't know if it's enough to make a difference.
Well, I think so.
Yeah.
And people, you know, that apartment that's $1,600, what part of that is the electricity and gas?
Right.
What part of that is maintenance? What part of that is the overall expenses? And that experience is only for inflation.
Hmm.
And when they say you can't, There's not enough housing, and it's too expensive for a lot of reasons. And that's another subject, which goes back 20 years when it started, when government started imposing all sorts of new building codes, insulation, foundation, wetlands regulations. Other towns started increasing their zoning, which made it more expensive to build. So it's not just the problem that's come about this year or last year. It's been building for a lot of years.
Yeah. Oh, it has. I know when I sold my house, I guess it's been 6 years now since I sold my house. I owned the house for 25 years. In order to sell it, there had been a lot of new rules over the course of that 25 years. And you got to meet. I mean, they told me I had to upgrade the water and the electricity in my basement because, this is the honest to God truth, what I was told by an inspector. I was told a lot of Portuguese families like to take the basements and turn them into residences. So you've got to make sure that your electricity and everything else meets the code for that. Why is that my responsibility? And it cost me a lot of money to do it.
This is what we're talking about regulations.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a safety thing there about people screwing around with electricity, but the overall burden on people because of the regulations, there's no percentage you can put onto the cost of the house.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, I originally lived in Pine Hill Acres in the 60s. I had a raised ranch, brick front garage under, finished downstairs, $18,500.
Wow.
That same house today, probably selling $300,000.
Well, my family back in the 70s, when we sold that starter house that we bought for $10,000, bought a beautiful ranch house at Briarwood, right around the corner from you, and paid $27,000 for it. So, you know, it's unbelievable. So, you know, I tell my kids about the American dream and buy a house and so on and so forth. They're looking at for an average single family home in Massachusetts, the average price, $612,000. You're talking about by the time you take a mortgage out on that, you're in debt well over $1 million. Who wants to take that on at 29 or 33 years old?
No, you can't unless you make a lot more money.
Yeah. And then just you're just living and working for the house, and who wants to do that? It's just ridiculous. I got to hold you, my friend. Excellent call. I appreciate it. Good discussion. Good information as well. But I got to get a break in. We're coming right back. Stay with
us. This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health, Advanced Medicine, more care. Back to Barry Richard on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Country, fishing in a stream, looking for an answer, trying to find a sign.
All right, welcome back to the program, 251 on a Thursday afternoon. So the Save America Act, the bill that requires proof of citizenship to register to vote nationwide and also have to show an ID in order to vote, has secured support from 50 senators now, setting up a showdown over election integrity in the upper chambers. Here's the problem. You need 60 votes. So you got 50. You got at least three Republican senators that are on the fence, or actually not on the fence, but opposed to it. And Fetterman, I think, may be the only Democrat senator at this point who's expressed an interest in it. So you got people like Turtleman, what's his name? McConnell and a couple of other Republicans that are going to vote against it, probably. I don't know. But so you need 60. And Susan Collins of Maine has come out in favor of it. It's common sense. But what's going to be interesting is that because we never got rid of the filibuster, there may be a strong filibuster against this thing to try to kill it that way, or derail it that way. So we'll see what's going to happen. Just keep pushing for it. Call your senators and tell them you want the SAVE Act. Call Liz Warren's office and Ed Markey's office and tell them to vote for it. I don't have a whole lot of hope that they will, but you never know, right? We're coming back after this. Stay tuned by the beat there, the funky beat. Goes back to the 70s. And that song is called A Fifth of Beethoven because it is obviously based on Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, right? Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, that's my contribution to the universe today, right? You like it? Voice is still a bit rough. I'm glad it held out for 3 hours. I'm glad you held out for 3 hours with me today. Hung around. Interesting show today. We had between Holly and then Elizabeth Dion, Republican candidate for state treasurer, and then Sean Oliver, city councilor, and newly elected chairman of the New Bedford Republican City Committee. And, of course, all of you that contributed to the program as well today. Got to move on and make room for Howie Carr. We've got ABC News coming up next, followed by...